numbers and the addresses coming up on the screen throughout the show. We're talking about the extraordinary close race now in the presidential election in Tehran for the presidency of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We're talking about President Barack Obama and his extraordinary speech in Cairo today. I'm the most positive about it on the show so far. Give me your point of view. And don't forget, you can send me an email at comment@presstv.co.uk. Now, every week at this time, we start by looking at the cartoons that have caught the attention of my editor in the course of the week. So let's see what he's chosen for us this week. Up here on the comment wall. This is our old friend Carlos Latouf in Brazil. A very acid view of President Obama, again, shaking hands with Israel over the misery in Gaza. This is rather obviously drawn before today's speech, unless you think today's speech wasn't of any importance, in which case you must think the Israelis, who are very angry about the speech, are just stupid, that they can't see their own interests. But thanks, Carlos. That's called racism boycotting Durban again. This one's from the Daily Telegraph, the newspaper which is causing all the difficulties for the government, indeed the political class as a whole, with its extraordinary revelations. This is a weather forecast, a rather badly drawn map of the United States, and an unrecognizable map of Ireland, but the message is unmistakable. Temperatures to soar. This is the angry public opinion glaring at Westminster, which is under a cloud and crying. That's by Adams. Temperatures to soar in the Daily Telegraph. Unmistakable political message, even if the map is rather poorly drawn. Bargaining power. This is Uncle Sam threatening North Korea with a big gun. Only North Korea has a rather more effective weapon pointed in a very dangerous way at the United States. This is a reference to the armaments which appear to have been built up by the North Korean state, which makes American threats to it rather redundant, because no one can attack North Korea because it has weapons of mass destruction. Let's go to the telephone lines and take another caller. Yes, caller, hello.
Hello.
Yes, where are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm calling from London. This is Saif.
Very well. Go ahead, sir.
I just want to thank you for having me, giving me the opportunity to talk about our initiative on your show.
Welcome. Go ahead.
We're a group of young people that have come together and put an initiative together called Cycling for Gaza. And basically what we're doing is we're going to take on the physical and mental challenge of cycling from London to Paris in 3 days. That's 300 kilometers in 3 days. And none of us have ever been cyclists before. We're doing this in solidarity with the people of Gaza and to raise essential funds for the UK registered charity Medical Aid for Palestinians to continue their essential work in Gaza in building a medical infrastructure there. The one thing that cannot be argued about is that the fact that there is a humanitarian situation crisis in Gaza and that we need the world's support in this, even though it has not been in media attention over the last few months. The situation is still quite dire. We need everyone's support. To support us, you can go on www.cycling4, that's the number 4, gaza.com. We need cyclists, we need donations. So far, we've gotten about 20 cyclists and about £40,000 of donations. But our target is to get to £100,000 of funds.
And what's the date of the cycle?
It's going to be from the 2nd of July till the 5th of July.
Well, I wish you every success. That's cycling for the number 4, Gaza.com. Thank you very much indeed. The best of luck to the cyclists, and please do try to support them. Go to their website, cyclingforgaza.com. Let's stay on the comment wall and take an SMS, this one from Spain. How dare the US criticize North Korea? The US has 130 bases and thousands of atomic nuclear bombs and using some. Well, it isn't using some, that's not true. But it does have thousands, and it has bases all around the world, including in South Korea. And it has nuclear weapons in Japan. which is the historic enemy of the Korean people, North and South, actually, and certainly now in a belligerent position vis-a-vis North Korea. It's one of these problems. These weapons of mass destruction are hideous, they're dangerous, they could be stolen, they could go off, they could destroy life as we know it on the planet. It's far, far better if the weapons that exist are now destroyed. But there's no argument that some countries are allowed to have them, while other countries are not. That's just illogical, and in some cases, racist as an idea. Thanks very much indeed for that. Let's stay on the comment wall, take an email. This one is from England, Ahmed. How does Britain treat its citizens? I was very touched and affected by a Palestinian guest on one of your shows, Mahmoud Abu-Ruda, under house arrest with no trial court evidence. I was upset about his ordeal and what he has been through and hope somehow that things get better and he gets his life back on track. Please let him know there are people who have watched the show and would support him in any way possible. Well, I did actually speak to his lawyer a couple of times after that show, which was particularly powerful and affecting. It was my colleague Matthew interviewed him on the show called Canon. I'm sure it's available on the archive at Press TV. It was truly extraordinary, and it's a truly extraordinary state of affairs that in Britain, of all places, we have reduced a man to this level, like a broken reed, now separated from his family with nothing left to live for and openly discussing taking his own life. A very, very tragic case. I'm certainly doing what I can, which is not a lot, I must tell you. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway. I have a comment to make to you and also a question to ask you.
Go ahead.
My comment is Obama's speech.
Yeah.
I'm sure if he mean what he say, he's a very, very honorable man. My question to you is, what chance do you think he's got to implement what he wished to do whilst he's surrounded by a bunch of, at best, they are supporter of Israel, or they can be described as Zionists of his administration, and also the House of Representatives and so on, they're all supported or guided by AIPAC or the Zionist entity.
Well, I think your latter point is more powerful than your first. He is the President of the United States, elected in a landslide victory. He has unprecedented levels of support, not just in the United States, but throughout the world. And he is in a position to do anything that he wants to do, vis-a-vis his own court. And so I wouldn't trouble yourself by the people he's put in minor positions, like the chief of staff, for example, whose job is to open and shut the gate that leads to the president. Nothing much more than that. Much more of a problem is the fact that the U.S. Congress is overwhelmingly more Zionist than the Zionist state. It's more Likud than the Likud. It's more Netanyahu than Netanyahu's government itself. That's why we have to join the debate in the United States. That's why we've got to shift public opinion in favor of the president's policy so that the Congress cannot cripple it, cannot hobble it. Because it won't be long before the Israel lobby gets busy in the United States. I can already hear their chatter this evening expressing their grave anxieties about what the president has said and, more importantly, not said. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, caller. Hello.
Hello, yes.
Yes, where are you?
I'm here. I'm Vanessa.
Yes, where? Where's here? Which country?
Oh, I'm Vanessa from London.
Okay, Vanessa, go ahead.
Well, first I'd like to congratulate you on your great hard work that you're doing for Palestinians.
Thank you.
And the second, I want to make some comments about the Obama speech today.
Yes, please.
Well, the first I want to say that it was all a razzle-dazzle. It was a great, intellectually clever speech, very engaging and inspiring, and I should say very optimistic. However, there are some shortfalls in this speech, and there are a couple of points that I would like to tell you, although I don't have time to talk much. The first point was about Hamas. renouncing violence and recognition of Israel. The first point I want to say is that Hamas is not a violent organization, but they have a legitimate right to resistance because they are under occupation and oppression. And the second, about recognition of Israel. Well, the President Obama did not say on which borders Israel should be recognized, because the Israel has waged the war of conquest against their neighbors. So they are still holding Golan Heights in Syria, they are still holding part of Lebanon, and they are still swallowing and eating every day Palestinian territory. So which are the borders that should be recognized?
Well, I'm sure that in the course of a public speech in a university, that's not the sort of detail that is going to be dealt with. But Hamas have already, as a party to the Arab peace plan, which emanated now some years ago from Saudi Arabia, Hamas were there, they assented to the Arab peace plan. They have already offered Israel a 30-year hudna, or ceasefire. 30 years is a long ceasefire by anyone's standards. And the Arab peace plan's belief is that Israel must withdraw entirely to the borders that existed before the 6th of June, 1967. That is to say, the entire West Bank, the entire Gaza Strip, and the entirety of East Jerusalem has to be evacuated. Of course, Syria must get the Golan Heights back. Lebanon must get the Shabah farms back. And the refugee issue, whereby millions of Palestinian refugees continue to live outside the borders of that, well, that too was addressed by Obama in his speech, quite unexpectedly. Not many people would have expected him to call attention to the existence of millions of Palestinian refugees living outside of occupied Palestine. After all, even President Abu Mazen doesn't often do that, but President Obama of the United States of America did. So, I don't know where this is all going to go. None of us know. But one thing we do know, it was a razzle-dazzle academic speech and all the other things you mentioned it, not one that his predecessor, George W. Bush, could have or would have made. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say something else about nuclear Iran, for example.
Yes, go ahead. Are you still Vanessa?
There was a talk about nuclear Iran and how scary that would be for arms race in the Middle East. But there was no mention of Israel being armed to the teeth with the nuclear, dangerous, illegal weapons that are that they are using against their neighbors and in Gaza.
Well, okay, we have spoken. If I'd been giving the speech, if I was the president of the United States, that's exactly what I would have said. If Noam Chomsky was the president of the United States, that's exactly what he would have said. But neither of us could have got elected as President of the United States. What you're asking for are things which are completely and utterly unrealistic to come from the mouth of a President of the United States. Of course, we can pick holes in what was said and what was not said. And that's a very glaring hole, that Israel is allowed to have hundreds of nuclear weapons whilst Iran is told that it must not have any nuclear weapons. But Iran says it does not have any nuclear weapons. Iran says it does not want to have any nuclear weapons. The IAEA says there is no evidence that Iran is trying to get nuclear weapons. So in a sense, this whole issue, isn't it, Vanessa, is a bit of a straw man, a bit of a red herring, because Iran is not trying to get nuclear weapons and has no intention of doing so. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, caller, go ahead. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hello, George, how are you?
I'm well, sir, I'm well.
Thank you very much. You know, first of all, me, myself, and my family, we are very fond of you and your program.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Where are you calling from?
I call from Mashhad in Iran.
Oh, welcome, welcome, sir. Go on.
Thank you very much. You know, last week he was not, he was absent, and there was a lady who has called from Iran and talked about there is no freedom and democracy in Iran. And I wanted to say to the world, there is democracy and freedom in Iran, actually more than what they are thinking in other countries. Actually, I live in Europe. I live in very many parts of the world. And I wanted to say the freedom in Iran is the true freedom, and people can choose and decide what they want and who want to be president in Iran. And I hope the people can get opportunity to come and visit Iran. And the second thing I wanted to say about the Palestine and about Obama's speech today. So the thing is, you know, the problem in Palestine is not for only Arabs' problem, not only even Muslim problem, the world's problem. And Obama tried to say that is the Arabs' problem. No, that is not. And Hamas is the real government in Palestine. And the other, you know, the second thing again, you know, I wish you could see the program yesterday, the debate in Iran between President Ahmadinejad.
Well, on that very subject, I did, as it happens. First of all, I was here last week, and I did take calls from people who were describing Iran as a country where there is no democracy, and describing the presidential election as not a real election. But of course, that just looks silly now, because as you say, in yesterday's presidential debate, I have never seen, it was like Mike Tyson versus Muhammad Ali. It was a boxing match of absolute ferocity. These two presidential candidates were involved in a fight to the electoral death, live on television. And there will be another one with a different candidate next week. And I'm told that that might be even hotter. So the one thing that is absolutely clear is that the presidential election in Iran is absolutely real, which means it's the only country in the entire region which has a real, live, vibrant democracy. It's not democracy as would be written down in Westminster, but then look at what happened to democracy in Westminster. It's not the kind of democracy they have in Washington, where you need $1 billion to run for president. But it's a real, live, authentic Iranian democracy. And whilst there may be room for improvement, that's a matter for the Iranian people. One thing's for sure, everybody in Iran will be out voting in the presidential election. That's for sure. Let's go to the comment wall and take an SMS from Doncaster in England. UK Muslims, despite the rubbish they spout, are more than happy with UK government policy. Otherwise, they wouldn't give their support by living and paying tax here. They're buying and supplying munitions for our forces. If they didn't support this, they wouldn't want to be here. Total hypocrites. It is rubbish to suggest that the natural UK population were against the war. Well, you're an ignorant, racist fool, Ian, because, of course, Muslim is a religion, not a nationality and not a race. The vast majority of Muslims in Britain are British. You describe yourself as a natural UK citizen. I'm really not sure what that means, but I'm willing to bet you're not all that natural at all. In fact, I can almost hear your knuckles trailing along the ground, you prehistoric man, you. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Glasgow.
Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Joe, absolutely well.
I'm well, thanks a lot.
It's maybe I want to take you in a different direction today.
Go on, go on.
European elections,
No, can I stop you, brother, and just ask you not to, because until the polls close at 10 o'clock tonight, we're not able to discuss them because of electoral rules.
Yeah,
so broaden your question out, my friend.
Yeah, well, my question is, I believe an ex-policeman, Mr. Albert Burgess, is trying to report the crime of sedition to the Oxford Constabulary and having an awful lot of trouble. I don't know if you know sedition under common law.
I do, but it's a subject you better write to me about, I think, if you don't mind, rather than on live television, because there are many pitfalls that lie that way. Well, you can phone me on 208-601-4555. 44 is the prefix, of course. Here's the comment wall, another email. Let's see where this one is from. And it's from New Mexico, USA, Jamie Benetton. Press TV, most of your shows, programs, and views are so left-wing. What's wrong with you lot? You really need to change your views and start being more realistic. Jamie, I don't know about that. I've spent most of the evening trying to defend the president of your country. Why don't you call up and give us the benefit of your views? One thing that I think you couldn't say about Press TV is that it's left-wing. It is attempting, however, to tell the truth, fair and balanced. Just like, what's that one called again? Wolf TV? Yes, caller, go ahead. Yes, caller. Hello. Yes, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Galloway. I'm calling you from Vancouver. My name is Khonia, and I want to thank you for all the...
Thank you. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to ask you regarding the situation in Pakistan and Afghanistan. I am Iranian myself, and I see these two countries as Iranian nation, not Iranian territory, but Iranian nations. And these bombings that Americans do all the time, like people make mistake one or two times, but every day killing 100 people, isn't that just to... give power to Taliban, which, you know, people who die, they have children, they have fathers, they have brothers, sisters, and those people, they are filled with anger. And the only place that they can revenge is the Taliban close by. And they think they're going to fight the Taliban, but at the end, the Taliban is controlled by America and was born by America. And no, isn't that just
I really don't. I really don't, I'm afraid. That's the weaving of several conspiracy theories into one. It's certainly true that Sunni Islamist fundamentalism in Afghanistan was injected by the United States and by President Sadat of Egypt and paid for by the royal family in Saudi Arabia. That much is undoubtedly true. Then, after the triumph of these so-called holy warriors, and the destruction of the Najibullah government and the hanging of Najibullah, who was seized from a United Nations compound, Afghanistan descended into total chaos. Then the Taliban came to power with the support of sections of the Pakistani military, which is, of course, something of a satrap of the United States of America. But the idea that the Americans are killing Afghans to drive them into the hands of the Taliban because the Taliban are controlled by the United States is, I'm afraid, a conspiracy theory too far. The truth is much more prosaic than that, and you've heard me express it here many times. Well, I hope you enjoyed the comment this evening. I've not been feeling entirely at my best, but I've done my best, and I hope that you enjoyed it. I'll be back next week at the same time, in the same place. If you've enjoyed the show, come back and see me then. Don't forget, I also have a show out on Sundays on Press TV called The Real Deal. Well, it's been marvelous for me. I hope it was for you. And until we meet again, God willing, may you go in peace. This is George Galloway. This is Press TV saying thanks very much for watching.
Catch up with the news that you missed during the week. Unbiased reporting from our correspondents. Highlights from our cutting-edge documentaries. The week's best in discussions. Interview highlights. Reporter packages condensed to give you the news that you missed. Give us 25 minutes. And we'll give you news unlike other mainstream media. Make Reality Check your stop for the week in news and what you missed on Press TV with me, Kaveh Taklai. France, the land of liberty.